that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will cheek and don't give in, 'cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, October 17th, 2015, and we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, Chili Radio Ranch this morning, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Don't quite have the sunrise yet. That's still about 25 minutes away. But we do say good morning to you, and good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. And if you want to join us, our phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call or make a comment, we might even have a cup of coffee to pour you. You just never know that coffee gets done. But we'll start out with a prayer, if you guys will join us. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphones, Lord, to be able to have fellowship with each other and to fellowship with you, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, and guide and direct our thoughts, Lord, and our words as we talk about current events, Lord, as we talk about biblical things and things that each and every one of us need to be aware of, Lord. We ask for your blessings on this broadcast, Lord, that you would guide and direct us, that, Father, it would be pleasing to you, that it would be a blessing to your people, that it would help open the eyes of the remnant, Lord, to the new world order, Lord, that's out of order, and, Lord, to the call that you have always put out, and that is to return, to repent, and to return to you in your ways. Lord, we see the birth pangs. Lord, we feel them. We sigh and we groan out at the abominations, Lord, that are just rampant in the land. The lawlessness, the ungodliness, Lord, the idol worship. Lord, we sigh and we groan out. We say, how long, O Lord, how long? But Lord, we do thank you Again, Lord, we thank you that you've called us out of that, that you've allowed our eyes to be opened, our ears to be opened, Lord, to the truths that have been put out before. Lord, the truths that this ministry has put out for the last 30-plus years. Lord, we thank you for the pastor that came before us, that paved the way, Lord, that laid the foundation, that foundation built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and none other, for there is no other solid foundation. But we thank you, Lord, for the foundation that was built. Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct us as we continue to build upon that foundation, Lord, as we continue to get the gospel, the good news, out to your people all across this land, all across this world. We thank you for that. Lord Jesus, we ask you to join us today. Holy Spirit, we say you are welcome here. Join us today in this, and let it be a blessed morning to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And again, Remnant, we welcome you. And Jason, didn't know if you had something there you wanted to start out with this morning.
Yeah, I did. I ran across this story, and well, it kind of tripped my trigger. The headlines for it were, is, scientists claim zapping brains with magnets can treat belief in God. And it's on a study that basically these scientists have figured out that they can treat two things, that they can treat people's belief in God, and they can reduce people's belief in God, and they can take somebody that has a strong belief in God, and with doing treatments, they can reduce it by up to two-thirds. And they are also doing experiments with people that have a problem with immigrants, the number of immigrants coming across borders. And you know, as I saw that, I read the study, and it was crazy, you know. They're basically calling it a disease, which is, you know, a belief in God, a disease. You know, if it's something that they can treat, you know, what do you treat? You treat diseases. You treat sicknesses. You treat something when there is something wrong. And people that have a belief in God, they're treating, and people that have a problem with a number of immigrants coming across borders, they are saying has a problem and need to be treated. And I thought about it, and you know, the thing is it's like the first thought that came to my mind was just reading about it is it's a spell. You know, and it, you know, you can call it a spell, you can call it witchcraft, you can call it sorcery, you can call it whatever you want. But there's people out there, I think it really brings home the point that there are people out there who don't want the masses to have, who don't want anybody to have belief in God. And I don't even think we can fathom the amount of money that they've spent on experiments like this, trying to get people not to have a belief in God. And here they're going after a physical, you know, magnet. Who had ever thought of trying to use magnets to wipe out people's brains? I mean, you think about a magnet, you can wipe out a tape drive or a hard drive or, you know, something like that. I mean, magnets, you got to be careful with magnets, especially when you're around computers or when you're around cassette tapes or VHS tapes or, you know, anything like that, because you get that magnet close to it, it wipes it out. Sometimes it doesn't completely destroy it, but it'll definitely scramble it, and you'll have data loss. And, you know, how twisted somebody's mind is to try to think, okay, we'll take this magnet and see if we can't wipe out people's, you know, belief in God. But I think it really brings points that we've got enemies, and they come to steal, kill, and destroy, and they are destroyers, and that's what they're trying to do.
That's an interesting point, Jason, but I think they're a little late, because the world can remove two-thirds of people's faith and belief.
But you think about what the world has done, and to being able to do that an additional two-thirds on top of that. You know, I mean, granted, they're using many different fronts, and they're using many different weapons of warfare, but, you know, who's not to say that you know, this technology that's just coming out that we're just hearing about hasn't been used for years and years and years, and is embedded in the back of a television set, you know?
Yeah, really. Good point.
You have a really good point there.
We've talked about it, I think, before, but they've actually created a new psychological diagnosis that if you are against the establishment, if you stand against what it is that the government's agenda is, basically New World Order Agenda 21, then you have something wrong with you psychologically, and they want to classify you under this new category. I can't remember exactly what it was, but basically, and then look at what they've said too, that people who are psychologically disturbed cannot own guns.
So you exactly can see
where they're setting us up. But also this week, I don't know if you guys saw it, but just yesterday I was reading some headlines. I can't pull it up on my iPad, but Obamanation administration just formed a new division, new task force that basically is going to go after people who are anti-government establishment. So, but the good news is, greater is he that is for us than those that are against us, and
absolutely,
the weapons formed against us shall prosper. And we just have to stand on that as the faith.
Exactly, and that's the number one point that people need to realize, you know, and it's not just that the abomination's going after. It's, you know, it was interesting because a couple years ago they started distributing all this heavy hardware to local police departments and sheriff's departments. They took a lot of military surplus stuff that was coming back, as far as vehicles, as far as anything, you know, weapons larger than 50 caliber, you know, 20 millimeter stuff, tear gas grenades and stuff, and they distributed it to local law enforcement offices, and spread it around, which, yeah, I didn't like that. You know, it's like, you know, what do they need to have that kind of firepower for? Well, the interesting thing is now they want it all back. They've had so much of the sheriff's turn on them and not back them and not back their agendas that all of a sudden they're saying, hey, you know, we want our hardware back.
I saw that, yeah. They want their military vehicles back and stuff because, yeah, you're right, a lot of the sheriffs aren't going along with their program the way they expected them.
Yep.
But you can see, too, they're admitting, I mean, the government's admitting that their ultimate goal is federal police force.
Well, yeah, and that small arms treaty that they voted on, you know, that vote, you think about it, you know, we beat the vote because, you know, it was, I can't remember the exact numbers, it was 54-56, but it was, I know that there was 46 Democrats that voted for it. And I mean, that, you know, that number is way too close, you know, for this country, because we had 46 of the senators that voted disarm, mandatory disarmament of everyone in the United States. If you look at Section 11 of that Small Arms Treaty Act, it is confiscate and take the weapons away, all the small arms from the people. And to be part of the UN and be a part of that the UN resolution treaty, that with a Small Arms Treaty, you have to do that. And there was 46 of these sons of hell that wanted to disarm us. I mean, and there's 46 of them that don't deserve to be in office.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look at, you got a devout socialist / communist running for president, and the sad thing is these indoctrinated college kids are flocking to him more than they did Obamanation.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, I was talking yesterday to a man, and when we were talking, we got on talking about religion, and, you know, and he brought up a point that I think really needs to be driven home. He brought up the point on just abortion. He's like, you know what? I don't feel like I'm a good Christian. He's like, I don't feel like I'm, you know, that spiritual or anything. But he said, you know what? He said, I have a hard time with every time I hear about somebody getting an abortion or anything, he's like, I just want to cry. He's like, nobody has any, there's very few people that have a love and an appreciation for life. And, you know, we talked about it for quite some time, and we talked about, you know, this country reaping what we have sown. And we have allowed, you know, millions and millions of children to be slaughtered, you know, and how every one of them is you know, doesn't deserve that. It's murder. And, yeah. You know, I told him, I said, you know, it's murder as far as I'm concerned. And he said, yeah, he said, it is. And we talked about, but you think about how many of those children, you know, being... not having a chance, and their blood crying out from the ground, and the people what was I trying to say? Just how we're gonna reap the consequences for that, for allowing that
innocent blood crying out. Absolutely. But here's, you know, something I saw the other day caught my eye. The guy who exposed, you know, who did all these videos, hidden video cameras with these abortion doctors and stuff. And one of them, I think it was in, I can't remember what state, but anyway, Oregon, I think. But anyways, one of the hidden videos was the testimony of the person who was talking with the abortion doctor, and it was a late term, I mean like ninth month abortion doctor. Which is absolutely, well, it's all murder, but, and he said when he looked at that doctor, he saw evil. And there's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Yep, I agree.
What's interesting, though, when you start to talk to people and you compare it to, there's no difference between the sacrifices to Moloch and the sacrifices of abortion today.
No.
Except that they have, you know, the Christians sacrificing their children, and they start to think about it. The wheels start to turn, and they start to think, wow, you know? And you tell them that, you know, we get power from our God through praise and worship and fasting and prayer, and don't think that they don't get power from their God through abortion, through murder, through suffering and pain. And then
yes.
They really get the wheels turning. Some look at you like you're from another planet, but some, just like this man you're talking about, Jason, he has the laws of God written on his heart, and he knows that it's wrong. And there's no magnet, or there's no nothing else that's going to remove that from God's, from Israel, from true Israel.
Yep. Well, and there's, you know, you look at, just how far people are have strayed away from that, and how they have that loss. They don't have that love for life. You know, they put all these things above it. I mean, you know, when you think about it, you can shoot somebody and get out of jail quicker than if you shoot a dog or a wolf or a bear or anything that's trying to attack you.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a pretty good telltale sign right there of, you know, where we're at spiritually as a people.
Right. Well, it's just like the Tower of Babel, like you've said, that the value of life, human life, is
just at the bottom of the totem pole.
Exactly, yeah. And everything in the world is above human life now.
And that is, that we've come full circle. We've returned to that type of a society, where it's the things that are more important. The ungodly ideals are more important than human life. But you know what? A lot of people love to have it so. They do.
Yeah, they do.
They do. And
so this week, for some reason, the Lord woke me up, I think it was Tuesday, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and just couldn't sleep, and I knew it was because, get up, you know, I want you to go read your Bible. So I did, and I ended up reading all of Judges and Revelation. But anyways, something I noticed here and highlighted that sometimes I think we've missed is in Judges 2:16, it says, "Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them from the hands of those who plundered them." And drop down to 19. "But it came about when the judge died that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not abandon their practices of their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he said," now listen to this, "because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not." So sometimes when you wonder why we have all of these terrors around us, all of these people that hate God, these are the tests. God is refining 32,000 to 300, just like he did in Gideon's army. And we have to have the faith to pass these tests, to stand on those things that we say, that greater is he that is for us than anyone that's against us, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
Yeah, I agree.
It is. If the people will, when the people read their Bible, when they take time to pull away from the football game, you know, and, you know, there's another thing that the enemy has done is it's not just the regular football games, but this fantasy football league is
huge
now. People spend millions, billions of dollars now. On not just regular football, but fantasy football league. You know, tell me the enemy has not been busy at, you know, coming up with things for our people to do to take them away from reading that in Judges. But when the people will do that, when they make a choice to not be like all the other people, and not it's not just all the other nations anymore, it's all the people that unfortunately have become twofold more sons of hell here in this once Christian nation. But when the people will take the time to not, not that you can't watch a football game, but not let that rule their lives, or the internet, or the TV, or the many other things that are out there to keep us from the Word of God, when people will pull away from that and start reading their Word. You know, what's the Horace Greeley quote? You know, the famed publisher and editor.
Yeah, it's impossible to enslave a Bible-reading people.
Yep, either spiritually or physically.
Yeah.
But
right.
But you can enslave, and we are seeing that enslavement, that Babylonian captivity of a non-Bible-reading people.
Well, and I believe a lot of what we see, too, is I don't think God's going to share in his glory. When he delivers Israel this time, he's not going to share. It's not going to be by our strength or our might or what we do. It's going to be by deliver us by our Heavenly Father. You know, and it's not going to be a true deliverance unless it's, you know, unless the odds are stacked against you. And, you know, God always uses an underdog. He always uses the few. He always uses the weak and, you know, the foolish. And, you know, he's lining us up and putting us in that position where the only thing we're going to have is for him to save us.
Yeah, and we qualify, so that's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, and his, just like when he told the Apostle Peter when he was asking, I think that's who it was, wasn't it? When he had the, or was it Paul, had the thorn in the flesh. And he said, you know.
Paul, yeah.
Yeah, my grace is sufficient. And, you know, his grace will be sufficient when the time comes. But he's, you know, you have to tie the whole Bible together. He's looking for that, he's coming against that lawlessness that reigns in the land. You know, that's why we read in at least two different places, he says, you know, the people come to him and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? In your name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. And that seems to be what the Judeo-Christian churches out there promote, is lawlessness. There's nothing you can do, and it doesn't matter what you do. He's already paid the price, and you're saved, and all you do is believe, say that prayer, and you're done. And that is lawlessness. And we're not to have that. We're not to practice that. I mean, we're certainly saved by grace through faith. But he still requires us, you know, to be doing the things that he's told us to do.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. Oh, yeah. At the men's prayer breakfast that I joined, we had several men just come from time to time, and one of them was actually one of the starting quarterbacks up in Wyoming that's now a big leader in FCA, the Foundation of Christian Athletes, and which is a good organization, by the way. It goes into the school system and actually starts Bible studies and teaches biblical truths. But where was I going with that? Oh, but all these testimonies of these people who are seeing these churches destroyed and seeing marriages destroyed, and just it leads me to 2 Thessalonians. We're basically, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God and object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being a God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things, and you now know what restrains him, so that in his time he will be revealed? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way, when that lawless one will be revealed, who the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. So, I guess what I see, and I'm sure you have an opinion as well, but that the one who restrains will restrain until he's taken out of the way. Well, to me, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God that used to be in the churches and used to be in the people. And as the people lean more towards evil and give up their morality, God's pulling back his Holy Spirit, and evil has more of a reign. You guys see that going on as well?
Yeah.
Well,
I know that, you know, when we were talking about the abortion deal, you know, recently there's a pastor in this area that came out, and he was talking about how, oh yeah, it's fine, you know, I understand, you know, if a woman, you know, gets pregnant and needs to go have an abortion, you know, that's understandable, that's her decision. And yeah, you know what, I thought about this dirty bird, I thought about this son of hell, and I thought about all the blood that was going to be on his hands, you know, and how, you know, if he calls himself a man of God, and he needs to be telling people, you know, that's wrong, don't do it, you know, that's murder.
Amen.
That's you know, that's killing a life, that's taking a life that doesn't belong to you, and how he's sitting there condoning it. And I just thought, you know, that's such a bad place to be. And it's like, how can, you know, he's got to be on the other side. You know, that's a given, and we can understand that. But there's other people that just can't understand that. I mean, they can see that, yeah, well, he's you know, he's mistaken or he's wrong, you know, but their answer is, well, we need to pray for him, you know, or we need to do this. And they just can't see that there is, you know, there's those reefs in our love feast. There's those tares amongst the wheat. There's those, you know, sons of hell. There's those that were made for the day of destruction, I think is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read a headline this morning as well that I was going to touch on, and it said, clergy shows up at Planned Parenthood clinic and does something never done before, and then you start reading it, and they bless the facility and ask for protection, and but then you look and see who the clergy was, a bunch of women, mostly probably dykes, they sure look like it, and some Jewish rabbis.
Yeah, there you go. That fits with exactly what we were talking about.
It does.
Yep.
We have Volume 7 of the newsletter getting printed, folks. And so keep your eyes open for that. If you've asked us to email it to you, we'll be emailing it to you next week, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise kind of a thing. And it's coming along real well. And in it, got a picture that we're going to share with you of a famous mega church pastor and an infamous homosexual practicing, and they just are getting along just fine. And you know, that is the world. It is how the world is, and it is by their fruits you shall know them. You have to remember that. Okay, Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. And James 4:4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so, Jason, this so-called pastor you talk about that just okays abortion, you know, he's choosing to be part of the world and to accept the world's ways. And it makes him, by his own admission, it makes him an enemy of God. And, of course, these antichrists that you mentioned, John, that go and bless a temple of Molech, and that's just what it is. Well, that's what they do. That's what the Canaanites of old did, is they blessed their temple and their statue of Molech and offered blood sacrifices. And so why wouldn't they bless it? They worship a different God than we do.
God's got a special place for him.
He does. 1 John 2:15 tells us, love not the world, neither than the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And you know, it comes back to that very simple but most important truth. That most important, you could call it a shibboleth if you want to, the test. And it's, by their fruits you shall know them. And the people today are just, it seems like they're blinded to it. They're blinded to, they don't read their word, they don't understand that principle. They just think, oh, well, when I see this famous megachurch pastor holding hands and laughing and joking with this flaming fag, well, then it must be okay. And Jason, when the people that go to the church at that pastors, you know, when he says, oh, we just, this is okay, it's her choice, and that's okay, it's friendship with the world. It's accepting of the world's ways. And those people, instead of somebody standing up saying, wait a minute, it's murder. And God hates it. You know, suffer not the little children. And they just accept it. Jason, I was really encouraged by what you started with, talking about the guy that came to you and said, you know, he's not a real good Christian, but this abortion is really affecting him, and he knows it's wrong. You know, he is a good Christian in that aspect. He has that mark of God on him, that he's crying out, that he's groaning at least that abomination, at least at that sin. You know, and it's encouraging when we hear of things like that, that, you know, we know God still has his people. Now, they don't have it all, they might not have it all figured out, any more than we have it all figured out. But boy, when they see, you know, when they see something there that's wrong, it's good that you know, the hearts are not so hardened that his remnant can still feel compassion.
Yeah, I look back at when I brought I was supposed to bring a teaching on love at this men's prayer breakfast, and it was right after the ruling with the Supreme Court, and I just couldn't bring myself to bring a message on love that morning, so I brought it on Ezekiel 9:4, and I told these men that if you call yourself a Christian, you better be sighing and groaning and moaning and crying at the abominations that are going on in the land. And now I look back at it, there's a couple that aren't there anymore. They're afraid. They don't want to hear the truth. They think that, well, if I take that stand, then people are going to persecute me. Mm-hmm. Well, got news for you. You're going to get a mark one way or the other.
You are.
I'll take the one in Ezekiel over Revelation.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, the phones are ringing. Let's take a couple phone calls this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. This is Dee from Oklahoma.
Good morning, Dee.
Hey, I was going to call in and talk about the Million Man March anniversary and their slogan of justice or else, and the Campbell Soup commercial about the two so-called fathers saying, I'm your father, talking like Darth Vader, and obviously they're homosexual. And but then as I was listening to you guys, I was thinking about how my friends and family and then people you see even on like the weathermen or something, and everybody seems to be so forgetful and distracted and unfocused, and I'm thinking it's spiritual and immaterial in our thoughts and nature, but it's got to start with, because we're material beings, with something in the material world. And I'm wondering if it seems like all of this has accelerated since everything went digital. And whether it was TVs, iPhones, internet, of course. And that if there isn't something, not to sound, not go out and get your tin foil or anything, but if there isn't something going on, that's scattering our minds to where people can't focus enough and get motivated enough to protest, whether it's abortion or Campbell Soup commercials promoting homosexual men. And it just seems like people have lost their will to rise up.
Yeah, could that be the fluoride in the water, though, too? Do you remember how Pastor Peters would teach about that? Whenever they wanted to conquer a country, Jason might know more about the examples of that, but basically they would dump that fluoride in the water and the people would become passive and it would take the fight out of them.
Yeah, that might explain why some people in the country where they're on well water
the thing is you got to think of it not just of in the water, but it's in the plastics, in plastic bottles, it's in milk jugs, it's in milk.
Yeah, estrogen. Yeah.
You look at what this estrogen has done, and I mean it's that's what I said earlier. It's like they've hit us on so many different fronts. I mean, you look at what they've done with the genetically modified corn and this and that. I mean, and the truth of the matter is, you can't. No matter how hard you try, you can't get away from all of it.
Right.
With the thing that we've got to claim and cling to is no weapon formed against us will prosper. That's not to say it doesn't work for a while. And, I think that you can put it in a category of a spell. And a spell only lasts for a period of time. That's why they call it a spell. You look at that, it's like, I hear you, Dee. I'm right there with you. It's sad to see what has happened, but that fight is taken out of them. And I think about that often, that poem by Rudyard Kipling, The Wrath of the Awakened, because that's what it's going to take. And I believe that was a prophetic thing that is going to happen. And when we wake up and we see what has happened to us and what our enemies are doing to us, and we, if you think about it, what would happen if all of a sudden across this nation, people woke up, they woke up in the morning, and they're brushing their teeth, and all of a sudden, they just knew. They knew instinctively. The Holy Spirit moved across this land, and they knew what their enemies did to them. They know that they've been enslaved. They know, and they know who they are and what they've been doing. There was a fire inside them. That would be, you know, it'd be a miracle, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody hit their knees and cried out to God.
And if they hit their knees and they cried out.
The Isaiah 52
And then they went into a rage.
Absolutely.
You know?
Isaiah 52 is right where it is. It's awake, awake. Clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. And what are those beautiful garments? It's the wedding garments that Christ offers that we get when we contact his blood in immersion baptism after repentance for the forgiveness of our sins. And when the people realize that, and it has happened before, just as you men said, it has happened before in the time of the Exodus of Egypt and the time of the Passover. You know, they had a million people. They didn't have texting and Twitter and everything to tell everybody, okay, listen, this is what you got to do. You got to take a lamb. You got to slaughter it. You got to boil it. You got to do all. They just knew. The Holy Spirit told them what to do, you know, over a million people. You know, and they weren't just where they could talk to each other. And so the Holy Spirit moved them and told them. And what if or when, I like what Jason said, when that happens, the Holy Spirit will move again and the people will see this. And they will awake, the remnant will anyway. And as they clothe themselves in Christ, we read about that in Galatians, then that will happen. They will rise up against it. You read on in Isaiah 52, and it talks about that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. It's coming, and you know, we do need to pray for these people that they wake up, and that's what we continue to try to do, is to point these things out. Hey, listen, don't buy toothpaste that's loaded with fluoride. You know, try and do everything you can in the physical, but also in the spiritual as well. You know, that's where that obeying His word, whether it's health laws or increasing your faith. You know, they are tools and weapons for us to use in this battle that we're in.
You want to really wake somebody up? Tell them to read their toothpaste tube, because it says right on there, in case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Center immediately. And once you show them that, it kind of does wake them up a little bit. It's kind of like a smack across the face. For those people who think you're crazy when you're talking about fluoride and those kind of things. But I think, Dee, you made an excellent point, and I never put that together before, but people in the rural areas, they are on wells, and you're right. They can't poison their water supply, and if you look at Agenda 21, what is one of their main goals? Is to make it so expensive that people cannot live in their rural communities, and they must live in the cities in their stack and pack housing. And part of that may be just for that reason alone, just the water, but it's also so that they can control them. So that's an excellent point. Thanks, Steve.
I think, too, I know different people, whether it's magazines I have on country living or just people I know personally, are being, and I think it's the Holy Spirit, are being inspired to move to the country and get away from all the stress and of the city. And
right.
I was driving in the city yesterday and rolled down my window for fresh air, and all I got was cigarette smoke and car exhaust. And my friend, who had never thought or talked about moving to the country, in fact, when I mentioned it, she'd say no. All of a sudden now, she's inspired to move. And I think maybe there's something beginning with the Holy Spirit to get people to get away. But the other thing was, one of you guys was talking about getting up in the middle of the night reading scripture, and that spoke to me about getting away from that digital, because they've done studies how the more you're on computers, the harder it is to focus and read anything. And so it's not that people are bad, it's just that we are so programmed digitally that we can't sit down and read scripture anymore. And then there's so much, I remember Pastor Pete talking about in the scripture, there's so much power, especially in the spoken word, in that scripture, that could protect us. And then myself included, we're not making use of it.
Yeah, it's like Pastor Peters would say, it's technology is a double-edged sword. It's been good.
Yeah, I mean, it's how I listen to you guys, and yet,
yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
Well, it's like anything else, D. Just like we talked about football, you know, there's so many that football and the sports, it rules their world. They've got ESPN 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on their cable TV, and if they miss it, it's recorded, and, you know, they talk about it all day, and you know, they can tell you stats and all this, because that's their life. And nothing wrong with just watching a football game. You know, we'll do that every now and then. But it's the choice as to, you know, what rules our life. What, you know, what do we follow? What God do we follow? You know, nothing wrong with having a computer. But, you know, if you're on it 18 hours a day, there's an issue. You know, it's the in all things moderation. Well, Dee, thanks for your phone call. We're going to try to get this other caller on.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Dee.
You too.
And, caller, you're still there. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Absolutely. Good morning. It's Richard and Jason and John. It's Anthony from New Jersey. You know, it's so funny. It's we're so distracted. You know, Dee brought up a good point with the digital. The information can be bombarded. We are bombarded with information. I mean, and there's no spiritual or salvational relevance to it if you look at it. It's a distraction. It's taking us, like you're saying, taking us away from the Word, taking us away from truth, distracting us with all kinds of things. You know, God says, you know, if Satan is the god of this world and he has deceived the whole world, we're in layers of deception everywhere we turn.
Yes.
And
it's made us busy, Anthony, being under Satan's yoke.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, and we're called to come out of her, or whether it's the church or the world or the Babylonian system or the Antichrist New World Order. You know what I thought about? It was pretty funny. They talk about this global warming, how they're trying to tie it all together. We're global. It's like the precept of the to the New World global government, that we're trying to globally handle climate change. And they even go so far as to, they say about weather modification, I don't know how much of that is absolutely true. That could be a deception to think that we might think that they're doing the weather or they're changing the weather, when really it's God changing the weather. And instead of crying out to God for salvation, say from the storms or the floods, we're wondering if the government can save us, or if we need to go buy a hybrid car, like we're going to take care of it ourselves, you know, science is going to take care of it. No. We're going to call out to the Lord, like, hell, you know, Father, help us, you know, deliver us, you know, like in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, and
people just think you're flat out crazy when you say it. If all we have to do is repent and turn back to God and fear God once again, and we wouldn't have to worry about any of these problems in this country, JERUSALEM, and they look at you like you're crazy. Well, how's that possible? Because we've done all this damage to the country, you know, this and that. And I said, God told us that we wouldn't have to. He would take care of us. And he always did take care of us. And this land was the most blessed land on the face of the earth, because it was God-fearing people. And once we once again open our Bibles, when we once again hit our knees and cry out, just like in Judges, over and over, the people became fat and happy. And finally, God would punish them, and finally they would fall upon their face and cry out and say, "Lord, forgive me." You know, I don't know. If we're in the end times, which it sure does seem, then, you know, maybe that's the end of his patience. But then again, we read the story of Jonah in Nineveh, and there's nothing to say that if our people, you know, just as 2 Chronicles 7:14, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal this land, and maybe postpone, you know, the end of the age.
Amen. Sure. And, you know, either way, whether it's we're in the end times and we're just going to see the wrath of God come down, or we're going to go through tribulation, or he will redeem the land, the common ground is that our faith has to be whether it's going through tribulation or whether we're praying for repentance and deliverance or restoration for our land, our faith is the common ground. We have to hone in that faith, whether we're going through that fire or not. It's in obedience. You know, when you watch these sports teams and you watch these playoffs, and I don't watch them. That's just my personal choice and conviction. But you see the energy that goes into these games and all of the energy focused on these teams and who's winning and the people in the crowd. If their energy was turned and focused on serving the God and being obedient to the Lord and rebuking evil and exposing it for what it is, we'd be in a different world right now. We'd be in a different country right now if we were serving the God like the way they serve these teams or these football teams or these television shows. It's pretty amazing, you know. These other people, like these Muslims and stuff that are running through Europe and coming in, and they're serving their God. They have their conviction, you know. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, whether it's chopping Christians' heads off or burning down churches or infiltrating a government or a society. They're doing their job. If we had that conviction for Christ and truth, forget about it. They have no chance.
That's right. Absolutely. Anthony, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Well, I just wanted to say one more thing real quick. I wanted to thank you guys and thank your ministry for convicting me on baptism. Walking a Christian life, you know, you can go, but convicting me on Acts 2:38 is yesterday, by the grace of God, I was baptized. I went to the ocean, got a brother in Christ, dunked me in. In the name of Jesus and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I was baptized. And I want to thank you guys because you guys were, a vehicle from the Lord to convict me on that. And I want to thank you, gentlemen, for that in the ministry.
Well, praise the Lord.
Thank the Holy Spirit because that's what convicted you. So
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. It will glory be to God. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah, that's a conviction. You go to the ocean in the middle of October. I don't care what coast you're on.
And the angels rejoice.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And even one that gives his life.
Hallelujah. And I like what he said. You know, yeah, you can walk a Christian life, but, you know, there's more to it. There's obedience to the word. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I think it was Dee who mentioned something about just a lack of focus. And it's something I've been looking into partially, largely spurred by whatever shortcomings I see in myself. But I think it's a problem, especially an increasing problem. We've got things like autism, ADHD, and things like that. And they are real, actually. Richard, we were talking about the meaning of the phrase, the one word you use, rabbit. You know, I mean, and it's a reason people have a hard time sitting through a sermon and concentrating. And a lot of that's the chemicals, the vaccinations, you name it. But possibly even the way we breathe, which is different than previous generations, shapes of our mouths and everything else. But having said that, I think it's probably always been a potential problem. And looking into when I was in school back in the 50s, 60s, mostly 50s, we still had a lot of the old teachers who hadn't gone through this education program. Didn't have degrees in education. They actually knew this stuff. And we got a little of this from them, from some of these teachers. Diagramming of sentences. Memorization. A lot of memorization. We had to outline stuff. It wasn't fed to us in pictures and Cliff's Notes and things like that. And I got a little bit of it, not as much. Previous generations got more, and previous generations more yet. And what I'm thinking of it, this is just for anybody who's homeschooling. Now, I have never done homeschooling, but this is just based on what I wish I had had now and what I'm starting to do. For example, memorization, Bible memorization. I know, Richard, I think your wife mentioned in homeschooling, you'll get to the Bible if you don't have a chance to do anything else. And I think that's an old, classical, method of education. When when we could read and write and think. And I would think that memorizing Bible verse and things like that, I mean, you know, would be a good way to have practice in taking your mind captive, and even going back to that Old Testament, what was it, in Deuteronomy, bind this to your forehead and tie them to your hands.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's even, we used to write a lot of things out, you know, especially if you did something wrong. A bunch of times, but it's that memorization that trains the mind and calls for that, requires that focus. And I would think that would be just a starting point of any kind of education.
It is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Bill, thanks so much for the comments. Yeah. We're about out of time.
Sure.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Guys, got one more caller here. Hey, nope, sorry, I lost that one, but we're about out of time here this morning.
He brings up an excellent point, though. If you could say what the second top priority of the Antichrist is over abortion, I would say it's the teachers' unions, because you can see, I mean, the gloves come off, the fangs come out, and we're going through that right now here as someone who's actually an ex-Marine and proclaims to be a Christian is running for school board or something, I think, in Loveland, and boy, I tell you what, they're coming out of the woodwork to attack this guy, and it's because of the indoctrination.
It is. It is. They understand. They have to, they have to get that generation, and they've succeeded greatly in that in the last several generations. You know, from pulling prayer out of school when you and I were first born. It's been, you know, a couple of full generations now that they've pulled prayer out of school, that we've allowed them to take prayer out of school, and the teaching of the Bible and that type of thing, and the indoctrination continues. It does. Well, guys, we're out of time. Sure, thank you all for joining us, and we do want to invite you, the remnant, to church with us tomorrow. You can join us at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast at scriptures4america.org. And you can click on the live video stream starting at 10 a.m. Mountain. And on your computer, you can watch it on Windows Media or a Flash Player. And if you have a smartphone, you can do it on there and watch right there on your phone as well. The broadcast will also be on the shortwave and on the satellite, the audio satellite as well. But we encourage you to join us for church. You won't be disappointed. Well, thanks again for joining us here. Our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay kind. This country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them,
just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.